regular meeting of the Anthos Recreation and Park District Board of Directors to order. And I also hope that you all had a wonderful, restful Labor Day and with your family and friends. Okay, may we have the roll call?
Yes, Director Hudson?
Here.
Director Mason?
Here.
Director Dawson?
Here.
Let the record show Director Garcia and Director Torlakson are absent. For the moment.
Okay. I would like to start the Pledge of Allegiance. Mary Jane, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded.
Okay, Director.
Mr. Long?
Yes, Madam Chair, excuse me. We may need to adjust the agenda a little bit to accommodate Marilyn Condit, who is going to be here to present the Los Medales Garden discussion. She said she's coming from Richmond. We'll get here as soon as she possibly could. So if we get down to that item, we might have to move that.
The freeway was backed up to Kingman.
Yes, the freeway is rather miserable right now.
Okay, so we'll keep that in mind. So.
Okay, Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Mason?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
The record show Director Garcia and Director Torlakson are absent.
All right, and the presentation by Mrs. Condit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, we have the consent calendar that's composed of routine items of business and will be adopted in whole or in part by a motion unless a request is made by a board member to remove a specific item.
Yeah, through the chair, I'd like to discuss item B, the warrants, and item D, the written staff report on the recreation coordinator's report.
And I'd like to pull item A.
So we have A, B, and D with the recreation coordinator. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I make a motion that we approve consent calendar item E.
And C.
And C.
And C and E.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve C and E.
I just said
okay.
That.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to second that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Okay. Director Mason?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
Let the record show Director Garcia and Director Torlakson are absent.
Okay, so we have a question on consent calendar letter A.
Yeah, it's just a minor point. I already called MJ about it in the July minutes. We just need to make a correction to the closing. I left at 7 o'clock, so it's three I's rather than four. I think that's 13.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So we'll have to approve the minutes?
Yeah.
Go ahead and approve the minutes now.
I would like to make a motion that we approve 4A.
I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a roll call?
Sure. Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Mason?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
Let the record show Director Garcia and Director Torlakson are absent.
Okay, we have a question on consent calendar item 4B.
Yeah, the warrants. I just comment, if staff doesn't know these answers, they could hopefully get to me, just email to me, but I had a question on number 41169, on Bay of Consultants for a new computer for the administrative assistant for $3,100, for $3,155. So my comment was that my son-in-law just happened to be around for vacation when I had my grandchildren, and he is a tech of a major corporation in LA, and I was asking about this, since we're such a small district, was this kind of an appropriate price for a new computer? And he said, well, it's really corporate prices. And he just kind of, first of all, I'd like to know when the last computer was purchased. And if you don't know, you could hopefully email me that. And what kind of computer is it? And did it come with other, like monitor, other software, keyboard software? I just kind of like to know that if you don't have it. Because I think we really have to do due diligence for a small district, and this is public money. And I just think, I kind of agreed with my son-in-law that $3,000 seemed like a whole lot of money for a commuter for this district. And then also I noticed on the item 41163, being a consultant for computer installation. Was the installation software or just the new computer? I'm not sure. And again, you can email me that information. I appreciate it. So that's all I had on that one. Thank you.
I had a question on the warrants 412081 and 412055 about the security guard. Is that amount for one time frame, or it's an Ambrose Park guard, $240?
Yes, the Ambrose Park, we hire them for two different things.
Oh.
They are now doing our rentals too, instead of the security guards we had were employees before.
Oh.
And they were so part-time, and so they're much less expensive for this company, and they're doing those in addition to patrolling Ambrose Park.
Oh.
And the 240 would be for Ambrose Park, and that's for 1 month.
1 month. Oh, okay. And so they're there in the evening all night or certain hours?
What do they do at Ambrose Park?
They're opening and closing the gates.
I see. Okay. All right.
And there won't be one every month for the rentals, because our rentals are not every single weekend.
The rentals. So the, when there's no rentals, then you wouldn't be using them.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So any more comments on that? So I guess we need...
I'll make a motion that we approve item B on the warrants on the consent calendar.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, so moved and seconded.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Mason?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
The record show Director Sandania Torlakson? Director Garcia are absent.
Okay. All right, so moving on, we have a question on 4D.
Yeah, the Recreation Coordinator's Report. First of all, I attended an event down there, and we have a meeting night in celebration of Ambrose. It was a pretty nice night, but I just noticed that I was there for quite a while. I know some reports of 150 families. I think she meant maybe 150 people, because there wasn't no 150 families.
That's correct.
I can guarantee that. So, and then on the other thing is on the programs that we have, like the Junior Giants. It doesn't really say how many people attended, and again, you can give me that information. We don't have it. I'd appreciate it. And also, I'd like to know the percent of Bay Point residents that attend these programs. I'd like to know that, and if there's any type of scholarship program, I'd like to know if those go to Bay Point residents or how that's done. And then also I'd like to know if we do what other a lot of other ages do, a residents and non-residents type enrollment, because they're usually residents don't have to pay, they usually get a lower discount or don't pay for certain problems. And then on the other one was the summer basketball camp. It did say 48% participants. And again, I'd like to know the percentage of Bay Point residents on that program. Because I also know I was talking to a gentleman that was involved with the one in Pittsburgh, and he said theirs was kind of full and they were trying to get residents over here. I just want to know how many participated in Bay Point. So thank you.
Can you copy me on that, MJ? Mm-hmm. And me too, on the coordinated questions.
Thanks. I send it to
thank
all
you.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so.
To make a motion,
mm-hmm.
Director
Mason? Yeah, I'm going to make a motion. We approve D, the written staff reports on the consent calendar.
Second.
My second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Mason?
Aye.
The record show Director Torlakson, Director Garcia are absent.
Okay, moving on to presentation and introduction. Okay, we're moving on. I mean, general manager's report, okay?
Great, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of items on here. You may have already heard that AB 2444, Eduardo Garcia's bill for the, it was a parks bond. It was a parks bond, and we actually sent a letter in support of that quite some time ago. It's the California Parks Water, Climate, and Coastal Protection Outdoor Access for All Act. It died, and it's not going to the governor's desk. They anticipated it would have been vetoed anyway. They claim that they're going to try another one under climate. However, that may not affect us as much as this one would have, because it would be more targeted towards regional and water access and things of that nature, and not quite so much for smaller departments like ours. Just wanted to let you know that the 70th, part of the series of 70th anniversary celebrations that we have is scheduled for Saturday, December 10th, tentatively scheduled. I'll keep you apprised as we move closer to that date, but I just wanted you to get it on your calendar just to mark it there tentatively.
And that's specifically for?
The 70th anniversary.
70th, okay.
Yes.
We'll get that on the website and all that.
Yes.
So sorry.
We're
second traffic.
Yeah. We're still in the recruitment process for a maintenance worker. I interviewed a number of candidates. We did get a nice response. We actually were in the process of screening some of the applicants and hit a little bit of a snag, so we may end up going out again and re-advertising for this. As you know, we're a very small district, and we want to make sure that the fit is right, so I'm vetting this as best I can to ensure that we get a candidate that's going to fit in with our operations and with the district. So we continue with that, and as we move forward, I'll keep you updated, and hopefully we'll have somebody at the board meeting in the near future to present to you as a new employee. I've been in a conversation with Koshland, part of the San Francisco Foundation. They approached me about considering a program to enhance our existing teen program, and they're looking for an agency to partner with to help with that. They're considering Ambrose and the school at Riverside. So they're in the process of talking about some of the more finer details of that program. And of course, I'll let the board know how that progresses, and any potential partnership that we may have will come before the board for consideration. I met with Capri. Capri comes by every 18 months or so, and it's a district visitation. They want to look at all of our documentation and procedures for risk management, loss prevention, and employment practices. They look at our safety committee meeting minutes, our inspection forms, how we screen our applicants. They want to see what we've done in terms of ADA and our injury and prevention program. They want to look at our waiver and release forms, facility use agreements, what we do for volunteers. There's just a long laundry list of items that they want to go through. So I met with their representative for about 3 hours yesterday, and I have to report that this is in advance of getting their actual written report, but we did quite well. So it was a very good visit, and they're here to help us, and what they'll do is share best practices they see in other districts. So like I say, we did quite well with that particular meeting. I'll be meeting with the City of Pittsburgh staff next week. This is going to be an initial meeting to talk about our pool coming online and how we may partner with the city of Pittsburgh, because there is a certain economy of scale in, you know, partnering with them. So we're going to start the initial conversations about that, and eventually this may be formulated into an MOU that will be presented to the board for consideration. But right now, we're just we had talked about it initially that this may be a good way to offer the programs at our pool and see if we can share share resources. So the conversation will begin about that.
Mr. Mason and I are on the pool committee, and I wondered if that would be something that invited to attend, or at this point?
Well, at this point, it's going to be staff to staff, and and I'm, to be honest with you, the pool committee was formulated prior to me getting here, so I don't know if the pool committee was focused particularly on the construction of the pool, or if it went beyond that into the programming part of the pool. I don't know. I'll get some direction from the chair and later on down the line about that. And speaking of the pool, everything is going on. It's on schedule. Scheduled to have rebar put in tomorrow. Let's start with the rebar. The rebar is going to be a lengthy process because it is a big area, but that's a good sign because the pool is going to start taking shape. We're working with RomTech in the design of the facility, still making sure that we're on the same page. We're initially going to have the contractor put in the outdoor showers, but it makes sense since they're part of the building that RomTech engineered those, so we're negotiating and working with RomTech about that. So I think that's just about all I have for my report.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we do not have a legal counsel report, and at this time we have the public comments on matters that are not on this agenda but within our jurisdiction, and you're limited to 3 minutes, and there's request to speak forms on the back, and prior to speaking. Are you Marilyn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh. Maybe we should go to Marilyn for the presentation. Are you ready?
No, I don't have a presentation.
Well, that's okay. We'll take you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Marilyn Condit. I'm a board member of Los Meadows Community Healthcare District. And I was told that there are some questions about the community garden and that I may be able to answer. So that's why I'm here. I don't have any formal presentation.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can give us a little background on the garden, how it started, and what you're doing currently at, the number of people that are involved, and who operates it.
Okay. Yeah, I can start there. I think it was started about 2010, but it took 4 years to get it going, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. It took 4 years. And believe it or not, there are people who were against the garden. I still can't believe that, but there were people who came to our board and actually said that they thought that was not a good idea. But the vast majority of people were for it. But it took a long time. I partnered with Joel Summerhill, who was worked with the City of Pittsburgh Parks, and he knew a lot about landscaping and about, you know, how to form the garden, and so he volunteered his services. Well, no, I think we paid him. We did pay him for a little bit, and then he volunteered to do a few things like the signage and that kind of thing. But anyway, we ended up getting $50,000, if you can believe it, from the board to do the garden, and the big expense was the fence, and that took, I think, around $15,000, because the city had a certain kind of fence that they wanted. We were going to just put up, you know, whatever, but they wanted a certain kind of fence, and it cost a lot of money, so that was the majority. And then we also partnered with SDS Academy, if you've heard about them. They had a carpenter who volunteered his services with the kids to help build the garden. So they built the boxes, and that took a while because they're kids. And let's see what else happened. We decided we wanted to have a committee for the garden, and I really wanted it to be a project of the gardeners. I wanted the gardeners to take control of the garden and have it be their project and their governance and all that with us overseeing, because it was part of a board project. But I really wanted the community to be a part of this garden and have them do their own ministering of money and you know, overseeing the projects, that kind of thing. It kind of has gone that way pretty much. We formed a garden committee, and you know, we talked to legal counsel about it, and they thought it would be okay to have a garden committee as long as two board members oversaw the committee. So I'm chair, and then I have another board member, Linda Strong, who is another committee member on the board, on the committee. I'm another board member on the committee, and we meet once a month, and we get, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 people there every month. I just can't believe that many people show up, but they do. And they're all gardeners, and they vote on what projects they want. They come up with project ideas. They come up with what's needed in the garden. Right now, the big thing that they need is they need a whole overhaul of the pathways and weed abatement on the pathways and laying down more gravel and all that. And the city has a certain, they want certain kind of pathways so that it would be accessible to people in wheelchairs and people who have difficulty walking, make it safe. So it's pretty expensive. So they come up with subcommittee, and they decided that they needed to do new pathway projects. So that's going through all our committees and deciding whether or not we have the money to finance it. But every year it's a line item to fund the garden, and it depends on the year what kind of projects they have. It's usually around $3,500 that the board gives the gardeners, and that finances tools and compost, and we have to haul out trash sometimes, things like that, dump runs, things like that all come out of there. This year we have a bump up because we had some extra projects that they wanted to do, so we got $6,500 this year. Let's see, what else? What else would you like to know about the garden?
So the 20 or 30 people that come to these meetings, who are they? Are they Pittsburgh residents?
Oh yes, you have to be a Pittsburgh or Bay Point resident to have a plot in the garden.
Okay.
We have about 40 plots, and we run full all the time. It's very rare, and we also have circles.
Right.
The garden got so full that some of the gardeners saw extra space, and they made circles. So you're allowed to have a plot and a circle per family. In the beginning, we had trouble with families, like a husband would take one plot, a wife would take another plot, and the kids would take another plot, and it just wasn't fair.
Right.
So we had to reel that in a little bit. We do have a whole set of rules that the master gardeners that came to help us had done some research on the rules in a community garden. There has to be some rules, some ground rules. And so we came up with those with the master gardeners, a lot of help from them. And they surveyed all the community gardens around Contra Costa to come up with the rules. And we've changed them every year. And so one of the rules is you have to be a Pittsburgh or Bay Point resident. They pay $20 for a key for the lock, and that's all they pay. It's once a year. We really don't want it to be cost to,
right,
to prevent them from gardening. That's the whole reason to have a garden, is that everybody can come and garden. So, but we thought the $20 might be a good idea, just so that some investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just through the chair, I just had a quick question. I've been out there a few times and I toured it. It's really nice. I like the idea of a community gardener. I was talking to one of the gardeners, and I guess you don't have, like, I've been to other community gardens, and where I guess these guys can stay there as long as they want. Have you had any problems with the public coming? Hey, we'd like to garden, but there's nobody leaving. You're mm-hmm. garden.
But we usually do have people that leave almost every year, so we've been pretty lucky. I have brought up the idea of having a second community garden, because I think we could fill it pretty easily. Nobody's really taken that up, because it's the gardeners who decide what projects. It's not up to me to say, okay, we're going to do another garden. And So they would form a subcommittee and they would meet and they would get a cost analysis and come to, you know, to the board with a budget and all that. And nobody's done it. So I don't know if there's not desire or if it's a lot of work or what the point is. But every year in April, you have a certain amount of time to sign up. You come to a garden committee meeting, you sign up, and you get another plot for the year. But there's a lot of people who leave for different reasons.
I was just curious because
health reasons, they move out of the area, they figure that gardening is too much trouble. You know, that it takes a lot of time, that you have to be there, you have to water, you have to weed, you have to, you know, so sometimes people just, so we haven't really had a huge problem with that, although you would think we would because we're going full. But so far, there's usually probably, you know, maybe close to 10 plots that open up. Oh, we also have, we have raised beds and we have plots in the ground. And then our newest feature is we have, what is it called? It's a very high raised bed that you can roll a wheelchair under.
Elevator.
Yeah, what's it, it's called
I
something.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know. But anyway, you can just roll under it. And we got one, and immediately a group came and wanted it. So we were, that's one of the projects for this year is to get another one, because it seemed like when we put one out there, it got taken right away.
How did you let the people know that the garden is available? Do you put it in the notices in the paper, or how do you let
That's the amazing part, because when we were doing all this, I think it's because it's on a main road.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that must help, because no advertising, no nothing. I think people just saw it going up, and they saw, and we have a really cute sign that Joel painted, just adorable. And I think they just saw it in a lot of Pittsburgh Health Center residents, I mean, Pittsburgh Health Center clients, you know, that there's so many thousands and thousands of people that go there. I think it just...
Word of mouth.
Yeah. We didn't do any advertising. The opening day, I remember getting up in the morning thinking, I wonder if anybody's going to show up. And we got there and it was like, oh, these people were there. I got so nervous because I didn't have anything planned. I just said, okay, come on in. But yeah, it was amazing. It was a really wonderful day.
Oh, yes. Did you say earlier that you received, or that Los Hermanos Community Health, they gave them $50,000, is that what you said?
The beginning amount was $50,000. There was a lot of mistakes made. The wood that we did a lot of research on what kind of wood we should have for the plots. And we ended up purchasing very expensive wood that didn't work at all. It ended up deteriorating and the soil came out underneath it. It all has to be replaced. So that was a costly mistake. That was a costly mistake. We were relying on experts and people that we talked to as to what kind of wood. You know, you can't have rubber ties because it has creosote in it, and you can't have pre-treated because of the chemicals. And so what do you use, you know? And so we got this very, very expensive wood, and it was terrible.
Is that the composite?
I don't know what it was.
I know you had a lot of that out there.
It's all being replaced one plot at a time. One of our gardeners is taking that on as his job. And so every committee meeting we vote for how many plots he's going to do, and we give him a budget. You know, he has a budget of how much each one costs and everything. And so he's been replacing them little by little. Bless his heart. We have great gardeners out there. They work really hard. Yeah.
Carolyn, we had a garden, as you can see.
Yeah.
And was wondering, could we ask to make connections with you and your gardening experts to maybe help us, provide us some direction? And also, I think we'd like to bring in maybe teens. We have a teen center here, and I think that would be a really nice add-on to their
Depressed teen garden project every year.
I offered, they weren't interested.
The teens weren't interested?
No, they, I offered to have my teens come in and maintain that, the board was not interested.
Oh, but you are now.
We have the teen center here, and we would use the teens.
Oh, so they're two different groups, I'm sorry, I thought it was the same group.
So, how? Anybody else?
No, I
want to say that the master gardeners.
We're not reinventing the wheel.
The master gardeners were an incredible help in the beginning. Jane and Craig Worth, and I actually Facebook messaged Jane today. It happened to be her birthday. So I said, will you message me if you're interested in helping with the Anthro's garden? I'm not sure if she's interested or not. She and her husband have a gazillion things that they do. They volunteer everywhere, and I'm just not sure if she has the time. But it would be really wonderful if you could get master gardeners to help. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be them.
Right.
You know, we have other master gardeners. Ada Ritter, you guys don't know any of the master gardeners. So Ada Ritter, she's helping us now and going to provide some classes to us and gives us advice. And, you know, when we need master gardeners help, we always, you know, we talk to her. So I think that's where you kind of start, is get a master gardener who would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd certainly help another any way I can. I'm not a master gardener. I mean, I just thought it would be wonderful to have a community garden, and mm-hmm. I thought it would be beautiful, and it would be, you know, useful to use that land for something for the community, and I thought a community garden would be the best. I barely can grow tomatoes, so I rely on the gardeners who are the experts, mm-hmm. and maybe we could have a group of them who are interested in helping with this garden here.
Maybe should talk about maybe some point having a committee, a garden committee,
uh-huh.
and flush it out, see what would be the.
Do you have any residents that are gardeners besides the previous?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that might be helpful mm-hmm. to have people who are
partly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think if you. I could email Ada Ritter and ask her if she might be interested or have somebody. It's hard to, because they have to volunteer to do this. They go through the Master Gardeners program, and then, of course, they're, you know, everybody wants to use them.
Yeah.
So they have to volunteer their time and all that kind of thing. So it took a long time to find somebody once Jane and Craig left us. It took a long time to find us another Master Gardener. But
how'd you go about it? Is there something?
Just emailed.
Just our networking?
The UC Berkeley Extension.
Oh, okay.
And I think Jane actually started that process when she was leaving. I think she said, we're leaving, and can you find somebody to, they're just invaluable. They just know everything, and they bring plants, and they give classes, and, I mean, they're just, we couldn't have done it without them.
Have you ever used, like, master students or anything to get credits to help you guys out at any point in time?
Masters of what? Horticulture?
Yeah. I mean, DVC has a
graduate
program. Yeah, with graduate students.
No, we never did.
Okay.
You could try that.
What do you think was your biggest obstacle in getting started?
Money, and we did have a couple of very high-powered people that were against it. And so I thought that we may not go forward because of that. But once we got over that hurdle, once we got the money, because $50,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
When people, you know, like, I can just dig a hole and put in a tomato plant. That's probably was the biggest. We've had a huge problem with squirrels. Huge.
Those darn squirrels.
I know. We have an electric fence that's not working right now, but it's just enormous. I mean, you could plant a whole row of corn and the next day it's all. I mean, they literally do this through their hole and you have nothing left, you know. So that's a big problem. But as far as getting started, it was really a couple of people and the lack of funding to get it going. So you could avoid a lot of the mistakes we made. You could make it a lot cheaper.
Right.
But this, so if it's here, would there be anybody that would tell you what kind of fence to have?
If you go through the county, what county, so you'd have to check with the county on if they have any.
I don't know, the city was the one who told us this really expensive fence. At first they wanted wrought iron, you know, one of those really beautiful, I mean, they're gorgeous. And it was like $30,000.
Yeah. After 50, oh my gosh.
I know. Then they settled on this one that we have.
That's really lovely too.
It's like 15,000, but that's just a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Did you?
And the gravel path is really expensive because they want crushed granite.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want just rock or gravel.
Yeah.
It has to be crushed granite that when you press it down after a while becomes almost like a sidewalk.
It's almost like concrete.
Almost like concrete, yeah. And that took a lot of money.
So, Madam Chair, I just had a couple of questions also.
Okay.
Who takes care of the common areas, like the pathways and, you know, that's outside the boxes, the fences and the weed abatement and all the stuff that goes on?
Well, the gardeners are supposed to take care of their own plot and around their plot. And then we had community work days that didn't work they worked really well, except that it was the same people that showed up every time. So you'd have five or six people that would show up and do all the work. So the five or six people got a little tired of that, so now there's just sign-ups for work. But we do have a gardener, whatever you call him. He cleans up all the weeds on the outside, and he, well, now there's a whole lot of bark out there, but there was a lot of weeds out, you know, outside the garden that would swish into the garden. So he kept all those down. And we have some bushes surrounding the garden around the fence, and he keeps those trimmed. And he hauls out trash for us.
And this is a staff person?
It's a staff person that we pay. He does a dump run for debris and trash and that kind of thing. We do have small trash at Pittsburgh Health Center that we can throw a bag in, you know, just a small bag. But for big trash runs, he does dump runs for us. We did have a garden monitor for a while. We don't have one currently. We're trying to see if we really need one or not. The garden monitor got another job. It was actually the gardener, and he got another job, and he just couldn't do it. The job was to make sure everybody was gardening, and then if there was any plots that had just weeds in it, to notify the gardener that had that plot, and then if they didn't get anywhere, to notify the office, and we send a letter. We don't let people just have weeds, and if they don't garden within 2 weeks of a letter, then they forfeit their plot. That happens quite frequently. That's how we get new plots. And that really helped us because we don't really have a staff person to go around and police all that.
Right.
Although we do have a part-time person that tries to do it, but she gets really busy with other duties, so it's hard for her. So we might need a monitor again.
Who pays for the water, PG&E, the
facilities? That was really interesting because I'm a county employee. I'm a public health nurse. And so I kind of knew the people. Well, I did know the people. And I knew Pittsburgh Health Center, you know, how are they going to, you know, bill us? How is that going to happen? We were willing to pay for the water and electricity. And so I went to the people who were in charge of that. And they went through lots and lots of people trying to figure out how to bill us for the water and electricity. They couldn't figure out a way, so they gave it just for free. Yes.
Nice. That works well.
He said, oh, bummer, okay. Yeah.
So the water and electricity. Now, every once in a while, we do have a problem with communication. When they're fixing the water pipes and things happen at Pittsburgh Health Center campus, which happens, it seems like it happens on the hottest day of the year.
Right.
The water gets turned off and the gardeners freak out. We are thinking one of the projects is maybe getting one of those great big huge water tanks with recycled water, just for that type of thing that happens. Very expensive, but they're thinking that might be a good thing to have. But other than that, we get water and electricity.
Nice.
And you said, did you mention that you have a waiting list?
Yes.
Are any of those people, would you know, you may not know, Bay Point residents?
We do have a few Bay Point residents. I don't know on the wait list right now, though. I'd have to find out from the office.
Okay.
We don't have too many on the wait list. I mean, we meet the second Wednesday of every month, so I think we're meeting, isn't that next Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. Every month, the people that want a plot come to the committee meeting, and they hope that there's plots open, and we do the juggling around. But we do have some Bay Point people.
Would there be a problem if we got up and running that you would let them know that we're available?
No, absolutely not. We love it that you have a garden here.
Okay.
Yeah, and we could tell all the Bay Point residents to come over here.
Do you know what percentage of your gardeners are Bay Point folks?
It's kind of low.
It's low.
Because I don't think Bay Point residents go by there as often as Pittsburgh residents.
Right.
That's the only explanation I have. I think if Bay Point people knew about it, I think they would, you know.
And if you just, who are your gardeners? Are they, have you noticed that they're predominantly seniors? Are they, what's kind of your profile?
They're all different people. There's people who work, people who are retired, people from every part of the nation you can think of. A lot of people who don't speak English, who speak all different languages, but yet they still come and they still manage to garden. They live in apartments, mostly. There's a few homeowners, but very few. Most of them are like in apartments, and they don't have an ability, or a mobile home park where they don't have the ability to have a garden. But it's all ages. All ages. We've had a high school group. I don't think they're gardening right now. We had a high school group. We've had, we have a disabled group right now who's doing the high garden thing.
Yeah.
And we have a group of African American women who are trying to, you know, have better health. And so they do a walking program and they do all these different things. And one of the things they do is they garden. And, you know, to have vegetables and that kind of thing. So we have a church group that's really active. We have a couple of church groups. And people bring their children. It's allowed to bring children as long as you have an adult with you. A child can't be wandering in there alone. But we allow children, we want children to come.
Great, thank you.
You set your meetings for the second Wednesday of every month. Mm-hmm. What time and where?
6:30, and it's at LMCHD, the boardroom there.
Oh, yeah, it's on what floor is that on?
Well, it's the first floor.
Floor?
It's,
okay.
You know, when you're facing the Pittsburgh Health Center, it's the door to your right.
Okay, yeah.
September might not be a huge crowd, but, you know, because things are winding down.
Right.
There are people who do winter crops. A lot of people do a cover crop, and there's not much action, and it's really winter time, but things are winding down from summer. People are cleaning up their plots and finishing up their crops from the summer. So there should be a pretty good crowd. If you would like to come, please do.
Yeah.
And then it's not on the agenda. Let's see, what's today? Today's Thursday. I can still put it on the agenda. We'll talk about the Bay Point Garden. So I'll ask the office to put it on the agenda. It's not noticed yet. If you'd like to come and talk to our board, I'd be happy to have you. Would you like to? Or just come as a
I just wanted to come in
as a guest
first, because I think we would have to do something through our board for one of us to officially, but I'd just like to come as a community member.
Oh, sure.
And just get a feel for what people are talking about, and if that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then
the Pathways Project is a big deal right now.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see you next Wednesday. Then.
Yeah.
At what time?
6:30.
6:30.
Okay. All our committees are at 6:30 to make it easy.
Nice.
Yeah.
You get home early and have time off from work to get there.
It depends on what season it is. Depends on what's on the agenda.
Right.
Our committees can go very, very long. I'm sure yours do too.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not usually an early night.
Okay.
Depends on how many people are in the audience and what's going on and what we have on the agenda and what happens. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Well, thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You have my contact information, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
You have my contact information if you need me for anything else?
I do.
Otherwise, we'll just take it from there at the committee meeting.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Happy gardening.
Have a nice one.
Thank you.
She was great. Okay, we're going back to item eight, public communications. The public can make comments on items, matters that are not on this agenda but within our jurisdiction, and we give you 3 minutes with a request to speak form from at the back that would be brought up here, and written communication received regarding items not on the agenda will be filed and may be read into the record at the discretion of the board chair. And I do not have any, so we will move ahead to our board matters number nine. And if there's any individuals that want to speak on items included on this agenda, again, fill out the request to speak form in the back and limit your comments to the specific item, and we'll give you 3 minutes. And not having any at the moment, our first item is to consider directing the general manager to issue a request for proposal for real estate services for the sale of the real estate property located at the corner of Willow Pass Road and Clearland, aka Clearland property.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, this is to actually get the ball rolling again on the property. As you know, this particular parcel has been up for sale, I believe, twice. And there was a cloud on the title. We have since been able to clear the cloud on the title, so we're ready to go ahead and put it back on the market. In doing that, we should recruit a real estate firm that's familiar with commercial property and get it represented and priced right. So this is actually, again, directing me to start the process and develop an RFP and issue that and get responses. Once the responses are returned, I'll make recommendations to the board which firm I think would be the best firm to represent represent the district. So in antecedent to that, and I think the board is well aware that there's a California Government Code 54222, which requires us to offer the property to a variety of agencies for low-income housing or parks. So it's mandated by law that we provide that. They have a 60-day response time. So the first thing is, just by law, we have to send a notice out to the various agencies within our area, and then once that goes, we can go ahead and offer it up for sale, and that's when the firm would begin representing us. So that's where we're at with the Clearland property.
Who's handling, Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
Who's handling that initial adherence to the code? Is that Kurt?
Yes, that's correct. We'll be taking direction from our legal counsel on that. I'm working with the City of Pittsburgh, also their staff. They do it all the time, so I've asked them to send me their mailing list, which would probably be very similar to ours, and the correspondence they send. So, but we will be doing this under the direction of our legal counsel.
So we've all heard this. Do any comments? Okay. Do I have a motion to direct our general manager to request to search out?
I move that we direct the general manager to issue a request for proposal for real estate services for the sale of real property located the corner Little Pass Road and Clearland Drive.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Okay. Director Mason?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
The record show Director Torlakson is absent.
Okay, great. We're looking with anticipation of what we're able to come up with.
Cool.
Okay, our next item to consider, 9B, is to consider requests from Victor Saldana regarding tools located at the Ambrose Park Maintenance Building.
Yes, thank you. Victor Saldana was a former employee who had some personal property located at the maintenance yard. He came to retrieve those items, and part of the items that he wanted to claim were tools that we would normally use in the business of conducting park maintenance. I told him that I was unable to distinguish if those were his personal tools or in fact tools for the district, but since they were on district property, there is a presumption that they do belong to the district. I asked him to present any receipts showing ownership of those particular tools in question, and let him know that if he did produce proof of ownership, that I would be glad to turn those over to him. I checked with the legal counsel, and he agreed with my direction to Mr. Saldana, and he subsequently wrote this letter making a request to the board to return the equipment. You can see in my recommendation that I'm recommending that we deny that this could be construed as if he doesn't show ownership, it could be construed as a gift of public funds, so.
Okay. All right. Any communication on that?
Yeah, through the chair, this is kind of a problem for the district because I haven't been park foreman for 5.5 years. And I know for a fact that they had tools of their own. I didn't like that. I tried to change the policy and make a policy, but the previous general manager would not allow me to enforce. They had trucks up there, they had their own tools up there. I had everything inventory that was ours at one time. Who knows what happened to that list? But the bottom line is, I don't think this is totally being fair to Victor, because I'm sure the district doesn't have receipts for this stuff either. I verified that he did have his own personal tools. He had hand tools, he had power tools, he had some generators, he had a welder. I know you guys have a lot of vandalism. But the bottom line is, I don't think this should be made out of a big issue. It's not, and he puts it in here that there might be a possible financial. I think these tools that he's talking about are only worth a few $100, $300. But the bottom line is, I did work here. I know for a fact that they had tools up there, and I tried to get a change, but I didn't get no backup from the district. And also staff, I'm sorry, Mary Jane knew that the guys kept equipment up there too. And like I said, everybody ignored it. And this is what happens when things aren't followed through. And I tried to go to the previous general manager. He just wouldn't do anything about it. And like I said, I have trucks up there. I think we finally got the trucks out of there when John was here. But yeah, they had tools. So personally, I don't think it's fair for the district just to say they're the district tools. But I know for a fact that they did have personal tools up there.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Well, it sounds like we're talking about a couple of things in regarding to this item. I just don't see how you can release those items without improving it. But if Director Mason has an idea about changing a policy, you know, it sounds like it's a good policy. I don't know that since you've been on the board that you've ever mentioned that.
Well, because I know I do. I didn't have to mention that because I'm on the board now, I'm not an employee.
Well, I'm just
and
saying,
this came up now when I saw this, so now I mention it, that I did try to get these out of there.
So anyway, you're interrupting me.
Well, I'm answering your question.
I didn't ask you a question.
Yes, you looked at me and you asked me a question.
I'm just so rude.
Okay.
But I would just say that I just, you know, I would want to be fair. And I just don't know how is that fair if he can't prove it. And
well, the
if there,
can't
excuse
prove
me, Director Mason.
Mr.
I don't care. The district can't prove it either.
Well,
and
we're listening to Mrs.
Property.
Mrs. Hudson right now.
And if we need to make a policy for the future, you know, I think that could. If we have a problem with employees bringing their personal tools, I could see that being a good policy to do.
Mm-hmm. And also mark them, and have Ambrose tools marked with Ambrose logo or something to that effect, and a list. So.
Did he take his guitar and computer?
Okay, so do I have a recommendation that's made here? That we, the board of directors, denied the request from Victor Saldana to take tools which he alleges are his personal property from the maintenance building without proper evidence of ownership.
I make that motion.
Okay, we have that motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Mason?
No.
Director Dawson?
Aye.
The record show Director Torlakson is absent.
We have no public hearing and no public session. Any of the committee members have any comments or reports or items for next month's agenda or comments that you've been attending the last couple of months that you'd like to share?
I have a couple of, I know that Delano worked really hard on the backpack.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people here that day.
And on the what?
On the backpack.
Yeah,
they,
oh,
they
yes,
gave away.
Right.
Yeah.
You mentioned like over 600 backpacks.
That's amazing.
That.
It's amazing.
Yeah. What I know that the backpacks is something that we've done in the past. What I enjoyed about it was the fact that he had other agencies being part of it. And I was very surprised because it was like, who are all these people? And they all had tables. And they, you know, one day he was giving away books. It's called Read, R-E-A. But they were giving away books. There was a lady from the nutritional, from UC Berkeley Nutritional Program. She was giving out nutritional recipe books. I took one. I actually took one of the books. They were great. It was just really, really good. So kudos to the district for being a co-sponsor of this program. And kudos to you, because you did a great job. And the other thing, the movie. I got there late, and I did stay for a little bit. But it was really nice. Whoever, those burgers were delicious. I had them in. So I ended up leaving. Wasn't feeling all that well, but it was nice, and you had a nice crowd. I think that there's always room for more. I think that it's a new thing. So, and I think that if we do it every year, maybe once a year, I think it'll grow. That's it.
I think the community looks to Ambrose as kind of a agency that has a lot of great ideas. They have the community's interest, best interest, and as well as the students, and I think it's really nice that we do have community connections. It's very important, and we can see that in our sports during the summer, we can see that during our classes, we can see that in the teen center, and making connections, and I think the more that Ambrose makes connections with the community, that's a really wonderful achievement.
I forgot something.
Okay. Yes.
I don't know if any of you noticed, but the people that own the property next door, they cut the grass, and the homeless people are gone.
So nice.
I was gonna bring a card and have us sign the card. So if you don't mind, I will go ahead and get a card and send it to, on behalf of the board, to I can't remember his name now, but he owns the property and he also owns the landscaping business. So can I do that? Can I go ahead and send the thank you card?
I can send the card on behalf of the district.
Yeah. That would be great.
Great.
Yeah, and we got rid of the homeless.
They had a house, how that practically.
It still needs to be cleaned. It's pretty nasty still.
Chair?
Yes.
So I just want to thank staff. I call you guys all the time with questions that I have, and Mary Jane, general manager, you guys are always really great about taking my calls and answering my questions, and I'm really impressed with our staff. Alfredo's doing such a great job. He has such pride in what he does. Jackie is really stepping up and really, she's starting to feel, you know, when I talk to her, like she's got more of a handle on things, and she's kind of a perfectionist, so she has a certain level that, and she's hard on herself. And I'm just, the more I get to know about the Teen Center, the more impressed that I am with what they do. And they were honored at the MAC meeting a Citizen of the Month, and they really deserve it. And Federal was just really pleased that we had such a great group of kids. So kudos to our district. I also would like to know if at the next meeting we could get a report on the Attorney General investigation into the Bay Point Community Foundation. It's been a while since we've talked about it, and I just want to know where we are on that.
Can I have everybody's attention, please? I realize it's the end, well, it's the end of the meeting, but I'd like to have everybody's attention. Okay, we don't have any other reports or comments. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make that motion that we adjourn until October 2016, the second Thursday.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you all for coming and being part of our meeting.
I didn't think I was going to make it. But you should have seen me.
You did good. Did you get stuck behind an accident on 4?
Where was the accident?
Yeah, it was my
accident. It was an accident.
It was right.
Like at 4 o'clock.
It was right there. Right past Little Pass Road. Yes.
Eastbound.
It took me an hour to get from Martinez back to work at between 2:30 and 3:30. No, it was on this side. It was right past the exit. It's right past the exit there.
Yeah, what was it about?
But it was on that side.
Yes, she had to go to county and came back.
Oh my God, I got stuck. I was on the road for an hour.
And I had an appointment, so yeah.
Oh, right.
And so then, I'm like, oh, my God.